The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from our remote Carter Subaru studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. Welcome to this Thursday afternoon edition of The Dory Monson Show. And hey, I need help. I need your help right now. The Governor Inslee just started a Twitter Q&A. And it's really scary, man. When you look and see, there's some organized effort in the Twitter Q&A. He's gotten dozens that I've seen. It's probably hundreds because I've only been monitoring it for a few minutes here. A bunch of people are asking Jay Inslee if he's going to let all the prisoners out of prison because they might not be safe from COVID-19. And I'm serious. There's the people asking this question. It is some concerted group that has organized this. They want to let the prisoners out of prison in Washington because of COVID-19. They want to let the illegals out of the detention center because of COVID-19. It's amazing that there are people who are coordinated to try to just unleash criminals on our streets right now because of a crisis. And we got to balance it out a little bit. So here's the question that I posted to the governor's Q&A. You know, yesterday morning, I saw four King County lawnmower trucks by the Burke-Gilman Trail. And I'm not going to go through the whole story again. But I simply asked the governor, yesterday morning, I saw four King County trucks cutting grass alongside the Burke-Gilman. You have deemed this non-essential. How can the private sector take your policies seriously when the government will not? And then I added the hashtag AskGovInslee, G-O-V, AskGovInslee. Since he just started this Q&A, and since there's this coordinated effort to try to get prisoners released from the prisons, to try to get illegals released into the community, we've got to speak out for the working people. You just heard the jobs report, 185,000 newly unemployed in our state. So would you just jump on the governor's Q&A? And just ask him to answer Dory's question. And do me a favor. Put an apostrophe between the I and the S. I don't want to see a bunch of answer Doris' question. No, I don't need that. No, just go on Twitter. Just ask the governor to answer my question. Why does the government have an entirely different set of rules? Why are private home builders shut down, but Sound Transit construction to Linwood continues? How can you expect any of us in the private sector? And I think we should follow the rules. I'm all for mitigation. I think stay at home is necessary. I think the social distancing, I think the prohibition on gatherings, I think it's all necessary. But I also think it's absolutely unenforceable if the government will not play by the rules they're imposing on us as they're knocking out, you know, almost 200,000 people out of work. And then I see a bunch of people standing around with lawnmowers and weed eaters in the back of their truck, and they're still getting paid, and government doesn't have to take any hit at all. So just, if you would, pop on, you just have to add the hashtag AskGovInslee. And just ask him if he will answer my question because, oh, thank you, Jacob. Jacob's the first one asking Jay Inslee, why can't he answer Dory's question? Oh, Jacob put an apostrophe between the I and the S. Bless your heart. Okay, before I get back to the news, I got to take apart the governor's press conference yesterday. And I'm going to do that in just a couple of minutes here. But one of our favorite, all of my listeners are tied for my most favorite. But one person who contributes to the show with his musical genius is our listener friend Dave Irish. And with all of us cooped up at home, all of us suffering from the quarantine blues, Dave Irish, a Dory Monson Show exclusive, has penned a little song to help us feel like we're not alone.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
Thank you to Dave Irish. Very, very sweet of you. But we do all have the quarantine blues. And you know, these unemployment numbers, they're so sobering. You know, not just for our state, but nationally. This is going to be some economic turmoil. And we've only started. We've only just begun. And so I listened to all of Jay Inslee's press conference yesterday. And by the way, he's done it again. Everybody is still very, very interested in the presidential COVID task force daily briefing, which is at 2 o'clock Pacific time every day. And Jay Inslee, just about 20 minutes ago, announced that he has scheduled another press conference for 2 o'clock. And I said this yesterday, I said it the day before. That's a real punk move. Because here on Cairo, we prioritize local. We will bring you what the governor has to say, because he hasn't even announced if he's extending stay at home past the middle of April. I know the answer. He hasn't announced if schools are going to reopen on April 27th. I know the answer to that too. But we got to hear it from the governor. But the fact that he continually schedules his pressers for the exact same time as the COVID or the coronavirus task force briefing from the White House every day, and Drs. Fauci and Birx, who are just such geniuses that are trying to help shepherd the nation through this crisis, incredibly punk move by Governor Inslee that he's just doing anything he can to try to take ears away from what's going on in Washington, D.C. I think it's shameful. I think the fact that he's just playing politics with his press conferences is absolutely shameful, by the way he's been scheduling them. Okay, so, but there was a lot of things that came down during his press conference yesterday that you need to know about if you didn't hear it. So, that's up next here in The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
And, you know, I mean, the first thing I noticed is I do feel grateful that we have somebody who is such a wordsmith helping shepherd us through
and
this.
And we know that this is a stern foe. It is an invisible foe, but it is not one that we cannot master by seizing our own destiny and doing the things, working together to tame this beast.
Okay, I'm ready to run through a wall. And then he asked people to ask themselves a variety of things.
So I'm here today to ask all business people, all leaders, all skilled workers, to ask themselves if they can join this effort, ask themselves if they can change what you're making now, if you're making plastic parts of any nature today. We ask that you ask yourself if you could help make face shields or even the top piece that goes around your forehead. If you're making medical supplies today, ask yourself, can you make vials that can be used in our test kits? If you're making any cloth-related product, we want to ask you to ask yourself, can you make surgical masks?
Ask yourself. I'm going to ask you to ask yourself that. And then, this is just baffling to me, that we had the Army come in and help put together this emergency hospital down at the CenturyLink Field Event Center. And, you know, the commander-in-chief has mobilized the Army to do that. We have the National Guard that has been mobilized around here. And our governor just slams the feds. And again, I don't know why he has decided to just play these political games here.
The fact is that we are not going to be able to get as much help, that, or at least we cannot count as much help as we would like from the federal government. We have been hopeful that the federal government would engage the Defense Production Act that would use the federal government ability to require manufacturers to make these products. At my request, the president engaged a part of that last week when he issued orders regarding ventilators. But to date, he has not issued using that act for surgical masks, for swab tests, for saline solution, for surgical gowns, for face shields. And unless that happens, we just got to realize we have to put pedal to the metal right here on a volunteer basis in the state of Washington.
And the reason why the president has been, other than, you know, what he's done with GM, with the ventilators, but we don't want to use this crisis for a government takeover of private businesses. And that's what happens when you are ordered. Now, I think it's cool that there are so many, and the president, right off the bat, he enlisted the help of, you know, dozens, and I think it's up to hundreds, of private companies to aid in this fight. And Jay Inslee has asked local companies, and that was part of his press conference yesterday, to make face masks, to transform their businesses. But when you use the power that Jay Inslee wants the president to use, then it becomes a government takeover of private business. And then you are delving into some really, really scary stuff with that. And then he used a big chunk of his press conference to talk about this.
And there is something I hope everybody can do today, and that is to make sure we participate in the U.S. Census. I can't overstate how important this is. The number of people who participate in the census will control how much federal assistance we get of nutritional assistance, job training, educational, and health care issues. So this is a moment where we have our health care at risk, and it's a moment we really need to participate in the census to increase our numbers so that we are treated fairly by the federal government. And speaking as a governor who gets up every morning trying to help Washingtonians, we all got to pitch in on this so that we get treated fairly, both in the financial side and in the U.S. House of Representatives, because this will determine how many members we have in the U.S. Congress to help our state in so many different ways.
And this is something I've been telling you about for years. And other than the listeners to this show, very few people are aware of this. I know that my listeners are. But the census counts illegals. And one reason why Jay Inslee and Bob Ferguson and Dow Constein, Jenny Durkin, why they have tried to make this a magnet destination for illegals is what Jay Inslee just articulated. Because illegals are counted in the census. And since we per capita have one of the highest populations of illegals, we have an extra congressional seat just because of the number of illegals in Washington. An extra congressional seat in D.C. We're one of, I think, two or three states that has an extra seat in Congress because of all of our illegals. And he wants the federal money. You know, he slams the feds, but he wants the federal money. Again, a portion. And so, again, very, very hugely political issue that he pushed right in the middle of this COVID-19 press conference. And then somebody asked in the press, I don't know who it was, but they promised that they would update every single night the number of people who have COVID-19 in our state and the number of deaths. And for days, that didn't get updated. And here's the governor's explanation as to why.
And as you know, the Department of Health is currently having challenges getting updated numbers posted publicly. Is that affecting your process as you determine next steps?
Well, we would certainly rather have at least daily the total numbers that we've been looking at. And there has been a challenge on that because the numbers have sort of overwhelmed the system.
What does that mean? They've been looking at the numbers, but they can't put them into the database that they promised would be open and public and available to all of us because he said the numbers overwhelm the system. What does that mean? If the number was 50, well, we can enter that. That's a small enough number. But if the number is 100, that number overwhelms our system. It doesn't go out to triple digits. What does that mean? That was just a word salad. Just why aren't you updating the database? We just want to know. And then he did talk about our collective suffering.
Look, nobody's going to come out of this unscathed in our state. Everyone is going to have some economic concern, and we all ought to recognize that. The question is, what can we do to help everybody as much as possible? And that's what we're doing in Washington State.
Not true. While the private sector has lost 185,000 jobs, government has lost none. None. Zero. That I'm aware of. Think about that. The private sector, the people who pay the taxes, who create the jobs, who drive our economy, they, in the last week alone, lost 185,000 jobs. The government, both state, county, cities, has lost zero. When he says we're all in this together, that we all will suffer, that's not true. If you are connected to the unions that fund his campaign, and you're doing Sound Transit construction, you still got a gig. If you are connected to King County government and you mow grass by the Burke-Gilman Trail while all the private landscapers have been told that they're non-essential, you still got a gig if you're working for the government. We're not all in this together. It's just crazy. It's crazy. And then one more, and then I'm going to have to carry this over into the next segment. But I think this is all very relevant because this is all hyper-local, the stuff that the governor was talking about.
We have an organized way to help people make the right.
Oh, and by the way, I should just set this up. He was asked, the National Guard has been authorized to mobilize. And he was asked, would the National Guard stop our movement if we are violating the stay at home? What about the businesses where people are gathering in defiance of the no gathering, bars that are operating in defiance? And he was asked, would the National Guard go in? And that he said
that. We have an organized way to help people make the right decision. First,
okay. They want to help people, you and me, make the right decision. How are you going to help
them? They'll get a notice from some governmental agency. Second, businesses particularly will be counseled that they need to make the right decision or there is a consequence that they could lose their business license. They could lose access to potential, I suppose, utilities if you don't have your business license.
Okay, so the way they're going to help businesses make the right decision is take away their business license and turn off their utilities. Now will you make the right decision? I cannot make this up. Oh, there are a couple others that I got to play for you, and then I got a lot of other things we got to talk about. The police chief wants you to call 911 if somebody calls somebody a name. It's all crazy. So let me take a quick time out, and then the big lead extended version. We'll continue as we get rolling here on the Dory Monson Show. Dory Monson Show rolls on. Let's talk about what Heather was just talking about. Will the governor extend the stay-at-home order? What about, are we going to get kids back in school on April 27th? So the governor talked to Channel 4, ComoNews.com, and he said that all of his decisions will be data-driven.
We've got to make decisions based on science and data and the health of our people.
Okay. But then he said, well, we're already into this, so yeah.
This gives us some real pause, and it clearly shows that we need to continue this effort.
Okay, so why haven't you announced it yet? Why is the stay-at-home order, the president days ago announced nationally that he wants people to stay at home through all of April, and yet Governor Inslee, he could have announced it yesterday at his presser. He could have announced it the day before or the day before. Because will he extend it? 100% yes. Why is he waiting? I don't know. I don't know if he's just enjoying the spotlight of and the mischievousness of scheduling a daily presser at the same time as the White House Corona Task Force briefing. But the fact that he hasn't announced that the stay-at-home will be extended at least through the end of April, it makes zero sense, because I 100% know that it's going to be extended. And then people ask, well, are kids going to get back to school on April 27th since the no school order was just through Friday the 24th?
Decisions have not been made yet. Very important decisions. And we will let people know as soon as we can make those decisions.
Baloney. Decisions have not been made. Of course they're not going to put kids back in school on April 27th, when every projection is that the infection and death rate then, we're going to have a big hump between now and then, where we should have the worst around the middle of the month. But at the end of the month, it's going to be as high as it is now, according to all the projections, all the graphs. Of course they're not going to put kids back in school on April 27th. So why the governor is playing games with the people? I mean, I feel bad. My wife's a college and career counselor. She's still working, you know, every single day, all day, communicating with kids, trying to help them get into colleges, helping them navigate the craziness. And I feel bad for the kids, because senior year is about the only time I ever had any fun in school. The last month of senior year, that was a fun time, as I recall, as I dive deep back into my memory bank. And these kids aren't going to be able to experience that. They're not going to be back on campus before the end of the school year. I feel certain of that. I'm 99% certain of that. So why the governor's messing around with these kids who just want to know if they're going to go back to school, but more importantly, with the business owners who are, I guess, clinging to some hope that his current stay-at-home order only through the middle of the month could be lifted? It's not going to be. Why are you playing games with the desperation of the people of this state, Mr. Governor? Makes no sense to me. No sense. And then he has scheduled his press conference for 2 o'clock this afternoon in conflict with the White House's. But we'll find out. We'll carry it for you live, and we'll toggle back and forth as we've been doing the last several days here on the Dory Monson Show. Okay, up next in the big lead.
The big lead. Top story.
Yeah, this is an extended big lead. So Seattle Police Chief Carmen Best teamed with former King 5 anchor Lori Matsukawa. And they said that if anybody is yelling out anything racist because of, you know, China flu or Wuhan virus to Asian Americans. And every sensible human being detests racism in any form. But we're going down a very, very, very strange path here.
Washington State is no place for hate. We will document and investigate every reported hate crime. Even racist name-calling should be reported to police. We take this information very seriously. If you aren't sure if a hate crime occurred, call 911. We are here to help and will respond to investigate.
Are you serious? I played for you a 911 call a few days ago of a business. I think it was down the Kent area. There was an active break-in robbery in progress, and they called 911, and the 911 dispatcher said, "We don't have anybody to respond." And the business owner said, "I'm watching it right now. They're in my business. They just broke in. We don't have anybody to respond." So we can't respond to break-ins of businesses, but we're supposed to call 911 if somebody calls somebody a name? And let's not conflate name-calling with a hate crime. A hate crime is an extension of a charge that where the underlying crime is an assault, you know, or something like that. But calling somebody a name, while detestable, is that in and of itself isn't a hate crime. In fact, it's First Amendment protected speech in a lot of cases if there's no other underlying crime. But let's talk about that, because as I said, there's no sensible human being that would target an Asian American because of this virus originated in China. I mean, you've got to be mentally off to do that. Now, am I saying that these things are not happening on the streets? All I know is what I know personally and with certainty based on my life experience. But from day one, I've called this thing COVID-19. From day one. Because that seemed to be the most accurate description. I never called China flu. I called China flu once when I was setting up is this racist topic. But then there were people who went on social media, you know, all these idiots who were saying that I was calling it something that I never had, because they just don't agree with my worldview. And what, you know, hideous people do is they try to tag people with racist if they disagree with you on, you know, fiscal policy or something. You know, you like capitalism, you're a racist. And so I know that, you know, I and some others have been falsely accused of racism. Now, if there is somebody who's screaming stuff out, maybe it's guys like Francisco Calderon, the Seattle repeat offender who's been arrested 2 million times, and we just put him back on the street, and who's a mentally ill person, and who a few days ago was grabbed a syringe and was holding it up to an African-American woman while calling her the N-word. Maybe the people who are yelling racism, the only reason they're out on the streets is because of the revolving door that Carmen Best as Seattle Police Commander and Dan Satterberg have provided. I guarantee it's Francisco Calderons of the world who are yelling out racist things, because you have to be mentally ill to yell at some human being because a virus started in China. It doesn't make any sense. But the notion that Carmen Best is telling people to call 911 if they hear name calling, when we can't respond to business break-ins, when we cannot respond to assaults in downtown Seattle, what has happened to our prioritization? Political correctness is literally killing us. So, but it's well-intentioned. And so it's beyond criticism, and anybody who criticizes her video must be a racist. All right, let me take a quick time out. We got a lot of other news to cover. It's a very busy afternoon here. Bill Gates, very interesting comments about what we should be doing with this whole COVID-19 thing. Talk about that and much more as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. One of the things that I've mentioned that I really appreciate about the White House Coronavirus Task Force daily briefings is hearing from Drs. Fauci and Birx. I think they are such geniuses, and to have that kind of smarts and be such succinct, wonderful communicators, it's a pretty rare gift. And look, I am all for listening to all the smart people that we possibly can these days. And Bill Gates is a pretty smart guy. He was on CBS this morning, and he was talking about why, even though this is such an economic problem for our entire country, certainly for our state, but why he believes that all this mitigation that we're doing is the right thing.
But the economy can return in a way that people who get sick and die cannot.
And that's my hope. I hope our economy bounces back from this. It's going to be a while, though. I know it's going to be a while. But then he said something ominous about the large gatherings.
Even the issue of once you get the case numbers down, what does opening up look like? You know, which activities, like schools, have such benefit and can be done in a way that the risk of transmission is very low? And which activities, like mass gatherings, may be, in a certain sense, more optional. And so until you're widely vaccinated, those may not come back at all.
Large gatherings may not come back at all until we have a vaccination for COVID-19. Now, what's he talking about? Well, he could be talking about baseball games all summer long. He could be talking about Seahawks, Husky football, NFL, NCAA. You know, we talked about that yesterday with Brock. Kirk Herbstreit on ESPN said he doesn't think there's going to be NFL or college football this fall. And here's, you know, and I don't know what Kirk Herbstreit was basing his opinion on, but here's Bill Gates saying that we may have to ban large gathering events until there's a vaccination for COVID-19. That might mean, this is Bill Gates' opinion on this stuff, and you can take it with as much weight as you choose. I happen to think he's a very, very smart person. And when he says that, it certainly does open up the possibility that, concerts, sporting events, that we may not have those anytime in the near future until we have a vaccination for COVID-19. And do you believe that? Do you buy that? Text me, give me your thoughts on what you're hearing. 98973. He also said what I think every single one of us is feeling in our hearts, in our souls, and in every fiber of our being right
now.
Yeah,
I find it so disconcerting to wake up every morning and think, well, that was a strange dream I had, and then say, oh my God, yes, you know, look, there's no traffic on the bridge, and oh yeah, my first meeting is on that computer screen, and somebody's going to leave some food, but I won't see them. This is super dramatic. You know, I use computer screens a lot, and I think about pandemics a lot, and even so, I can hardly believe we're in this situation.
Yeah, it is. It is a surreal world that we are all a part of together right now. And I think that's what we're all trying to process in our own way. This experience that, I mean, if somebody, think about this. If somebody had told you 3 months ago, New Year's Day, if somebody had told you that you would be in your house, except for going for a run or a bike ride or walking the dog or quick run to the grocery store. And that would be the extent of your universe for several weeks, 3 months from now? Would you believe that? Would you have bought that?
Do you remember what else didn't happen, Dory?
Surreal time. What else?
The fireworks did not go off on the needle. Somebody brought that up the other day. I was like, he said, I should have known it was going to be a rough year when the fireworks didn't go off.
Oh, that's right. God, that was God giving us a warning.
That, right?
Yeah. You think no fireworks is bad? Wait till you see what I got for you in 3 months.
Yeah. What else are you going to go without this year?
Yeah. Yeah. But I do think when Bill Gates says maybe no concerts, maybe no sporting events, that's when that becomes a possibility in my mind, a real possibility. Okay. Couple others from Bill Gates on CBS. He does think that at the national level that we should all be doing what we are doing here in Washington.
It'll help everyone get out of this more quickly and reduce the deaths and reduce the economic reduction if we implement these strong isolation measures on a countrywide basis.
It is crazy. There are plane flights still between hotspots. I mean, from out of New York, out of New Orleans. It's crazy because who knows where they are taking this COVID-19 when they get on that plane. And then finally, CBS News, they were trying to really make this political, which is, again, silly. You got a genius sitting there with you, and you try to make it about politics. And they asked if the president should be doing more. What a diplomatic response by Bill Gates.
I think that the pressure by fellow governors, the executive branch, the experts, should be very strong so that all 50 governors are seen that they need to do this, or that there is a federal order about the social isolation. The sooner you start, the less cases you're going to have, and the sooner we can all go back to some level of normalcy.
Bill Gates on CBS Today. Fastest 15 coming up next.